four, though, right? Small room. Well, good morning, everyone. I hope that you guys have had an awesome, awesome week. Since we got a couple of new people, I'll kind of try to catch you guys up. We've been going through a series to answer the question, how can we be confident in our walks with Jesus? It's called Confidence in Christian Life, and we've gone through several different ways that we can be confident in our faith, being through salvation, through confession, through obedience, and through fellowship with God. And today we're going to be looking at confidence in discernment, or confidence through discernment. So when I started studying this lesson, I wanted to look up how the dictionary defines discernment, and it says the ability to judge well. So that's what discernment means. But John MacArthur, a famous pastor, defines it like this. He says, in its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with an ability to think biblically. I really like that. But whenever I started thinking about discernment, I started thinking about discerning things throughout my life. And one of the things that I came up with about discernment is whenever I was a kid, I used to really think the magicians on TV were really cool because they could make cars disappear. They could make, you know, the Statue of Liberty disappear. And my parents kept saying that it was an illusion. And I kept saying, no, it's magic. These guys are magic. They're really cool. So I couldn't discern the truth and what was actually happening. And I still haven't figured out how he made the Statue of Liberty. No, I'm kidding. I'm not really caught up on that. So I thought magicians were really, really cool. And it amazes me, too, how many times in our lives we look at our parents and we think that that they don't really know what they're talking about. But then we get to be older and we look back and we see that our parents were right about a lot of things. Am I the only one? Is there anybody else who has seen their parents be right and they didn't think they were? One hand. Yours, twice. Twice as worse. So I've been through a lot of those different things. A little side story that I don't have any notes about is this one time we used to go and work on these job sites, construction sites, and one time we left our house, and right down the road there was a little convenience store, and we pull inside of there, and we go inside, and we get our honey bun and our chocolate milk. That was the morning routine, get a honey bun and chocolate milk. Then I come out, and I get my car, and I back up, and I go to leave, and I wasn't even a 16th of a mile away from the gas station before my car just starts shaking like crazy, and so I pull over on the side of the road, and my dad pulls in behind me, and I climb out, and I'm like, Dad, I don't know what just happened to my car, but it just started shaking all over the place. I think that the engine just blew up or something. And he says, how much gas is in it? I went, Dad, come on. I would know if it was something with the gas. So he backs up in his van. He goes back to the gas station, and he just starts filling up a can. I walk back up there, and then he drives right by me with the gas and comes out and starts pouring it into my car and says, start it up. So I get inside there. I'm like, come on, Dad. It was shrinking like this. That's not a gas thing. So I start cranking on the car, and a lot of people are like, told you, the engine's bad. So keep on cranking on it. I crank on it. Finally, it starts up, and I'm like, it's going to do the same thing again. I'm going to pull away from here, and it's going to start shaking again, and it's going to be it. So I pull away from there, and it drove right on down the road, no problem. And as it turns out, whenever you're in an automatic vehicle and you run out of gas, it just rolls and you just pull off on the side of the road. Whenever you're in a standard and that engine is fighting against the transmission, it shakes like this, like crazy. So I learned that my dad was a lot wiser than what I thought that day. I still didn't always agree with his stuff, but that was one of those things. So the next thing that I started thinking about my ability to discern as a child is I and my brother Jeremy, we were fascinated by smoking. I don't know how many of you guys know, but I quit smoking January 31st, 2010. So we're like five and a half years that I haven't had a cigarette. But whenever I was a kid, it all started really young. And my uncle smoked. All the guys that worked for my dad smoked. And it was the coolest thing that they could do. They could blow out these rings. They could do all these tricks with the smoke that my brother and I thought were awesome. So we were always sneaking around and sneaking cigarettes. And don't worry, parents. I don't want anybody to think I'm going to act like smoking's cool. I'm going to really trash it here in a minute. But we really thought that it was cool at the time. So we would go out back, and we had a neighbor kid that lived back behind us, and his parents smoked, so he was able to sneak cigarettes. As a pastor now, I call that stealing. But at the time, it was just sneaking some cigarettes, and he'd bring them back there, and there was high grass, so we could sit back there and catch things on fire and smoke cigarettes, and we learned cool tricks, you know, how to blow out the smoke and suck it into our nose and blow it out of our eyes and all these things that we thought were really, really cool. And other friends could come around, we could show them all the tricks that we learned. And my mom and dad kept catching me, and they'd wash out my mouth with soap and spank us and do all these things, but we just continued to do it. And then as an adult, it was legal. I could buy cigarettes and I could smoke them all that I wanted to, but I was unable to discern that smoking was bad, right? I didn't know the effects that it was having on me, because I could read some things here and there, but we didn't have the internet at the time, so you couldn't just look up all the stuff that it was doing. And I didn't realize all the damage that was happening to my lungs. And then as I get older and I smoke for a long period of time, for probably 13 to 15 years, it started getting harder to exercise because I couldn't breathe as easily. And I didn't know that hairs inside my lungs that are supposed to catch things were burning up, and I was causing all this damage inside of there until it was kind of too late to do anything with. But I'm thankful that I feel a lot better now. And I thought that I could hide the cigarette smoke and it didn't make me smell, but it turns out that, you know, nobody was fooled. And I have yet to meet somebody that has really hidden smoking from anyone, because that smell is always around there. But I thought that it was making me really a cool guy because I could have some cigarettes, but I paid for it with my physical health and my mental health. The physical attributes, whenever you think about it, is it burns that stuff inside of your lungs, and it messes up the muscles inside of there, and it turns everything black inside of you. But it goes even further than that, because whenever you quit smoking, you realize that that stuff is coming out of your pores. The nicotine is actually coming out of your pores. And so that means that stuff is making its way all the way through your body. So there's adverse effects all the way through. But it's not just the physical stuff, though, that was a problem, because I had trouble discerning between right and wrong, smoking or not smoking. It was also a mental thing. I said that I've been quit now for 5.5 years, but less than a month ago, I was inside of a vehicle, and I was driving down the road, and I just was overcome with an urge to smoke a cigarette. Like, if there had been a gas station, I would have pulled in and been struggling with whether or not to go in and buy a pack of cigarettes. But I figured out that the problem was that I had rolled down the window about this much, just like I used to do whenever I'd drive down the road smoking. And so that wind noise triggered something in my brain going, you need a cigarette, you need a cigarette. And I'm going, no, I don't. So it was a bad time. So still so long later, there's these emotional or mental things, as well as things within my body. And I'm hoping that, you know, whenever I've been quit for 10 or 15 years down the road, a lot of the damage will repair itself. But I've read that there's some damage done to me that I will never be able to do. It cost me quite a bit with not being able to discern and being destructive towards my body. And I think that we could probably all sit around and think of all these different, you know, lies that we bought into. In my case, it was buying into the lie that smoking was cool. But there's probably a variety of different things that we can think about, of things that just weren't true, that they were a lie. Many times, the things that we buy into are because we want to, right? We want that to be true. So in my case, I wanted for there to be no health problems from smoking to be true. And if we look around at the state of our country, we can look at a bunch of lies that our country has bought into, right? I'm not talking about like the recent Supreme Court thing that everybody wants to, you know, amen. Now, that's really cool. There's a ton of things that just in my short lifetime, even though Travis would disagree, in my short lifetime that I've seen happen. Some of the things that I listed here is I've seen prayer removed from school. Not like, you know, the prayer before classes, but they have almost completely banned. They don't even want to see students out there praying anymore, right? If they do, then they're going to get harassed by other students or administrators or some kind of problem if kids are praying. They're not able to bring, are they able to bring their Bible to school anymore? Can you bring your Bible? So things have changed a whole lot since I was in school. We've seen things go from people hiding their sins, like trying not to let anyone know, to just being public about their sins. And there's all this open and sinful behavior going on all around that we can look at, and things that I've seen change just in my short lifetime. I think that some of you have also. I'm sure that in some of the younger people's lives, they've seen some changes in society and in our culture that, Big Dave's back there nodding. Yep, he's seen it in his short lifetime too. So I start thinking about all these things that's changed, and then I start thinking about the latest thing that I'm reading on Facebook, and those of you without Facebook may not have seen it. Those of you that have will have seen this. There's a thing, it's a hashtag, Blue Lives Matter. Has any of you guys seen the hashtag Blue Lives Matter? Do y'all know what that's all about? Okay, so Blue Lives Matter there is because there's a thing going around that Black Lives Matter, and it's because they were saying that cops were out killing these people needlessly, and in some cases they were, but they make it sound like every single cop out there is bad, and they're just out there to kill people. So they have called for all of these different people, everyone that can, to go out and kill police officers because they need to. So people have started an anti-police killing thing called Blue Lives Matter. So that's like our culture today, and they're just open about it. They're holding up signs saying to kill cops and doing all these things that you can see out there, and it's just absurd. And so then I start thinking about the movie Matrix. Has anybody else seen The Matrix? Anybody? Travis has seen it. So some people have seen The Matrix, and basically what it was is all these people were locked into this technological world, and they were buying into this whole entire world. Their lives were like this big, giant lie that they bought into because everything seemed real around them, and everybody was agreeing with it, and everything seemed to be good. But as soon as they would pull these things from them, then their eyes were opened up, and they could see that what they were living in wasn't the truth at all. And that was kind of crazy. So it was difficult for them to discern the truth whenever they have this machine hooked up to them, but as soon as they're unlocked from that, then they were released from that lie, and they could actually see the world that they lived in. It was completely different from what they had believed. And then I start thinking that that's kind of the same thing with godly things. We start off not able to really discern the truth from all the lies that are around us. Like, there's these very intelligent people that are very smart, and they seem like they're wise because they know so much about the world around them, these physicists and things, and they're telling people that God isn't real. They're telling people that it was just a made-up religion, this God that we're talking about, this being that we're talking about. And then it's just like the Muslim religion and Hindus and Buddhists, and it's all just these made-up things, and that Jesus never really existed, and that there's not really even a real word inside the Bible. That's what people are saying, and there's not a single bit of truth into any of the stuff is what they're trying to say, and that it's just all kind of made up. Has everybody heard that, or y'all not hang out in the same forums that I do online? I'm constantly seeing these atheists come in droves on these walls, and that's the kind of stuff that they're sputtering. Like, this whole entire book is just nothing but made up nonsense is what they're trying to tell people. And then there's people out there that they're believing this. They're believing that these people that are really smart, and they know that they're smart, are being truthful and honest about this stuff, and so they start to believe something that's not true. And that's kind of scary for us. And that's why God tells us that we have to deliver this message out there. But eventually, these people, they'll start looking at things like, okay, they're saying that all this stuff isn't true, but then I read in this other thing that this link this guy put up there, that there's some stuff that's not matching up. So we start to see that there's all these prophecies that are inside of the Bible, and they're written like hundreds of years before they come to be. Whenever it comes to Jesus Christ, they've written over 300 prophecies hundreds of years before, because God had nothing to do with them for 400, right? So it was before that. And then they come up here and they all line up in this one guy. And this morning we listed a few different ones that were true, but they all match up with Jesus. And the probability of that is just astounding as to how that can happen. We start seeing archaeological evidence that the Bible is true. There's these towns that they say that place never existed, but then they start digging and they start finding, hey, this is part of that town that was in the Bible over there. And then they start looking at geological things that are happening, like they can see some evidence of a big flood and some layers of the ground. So they start looking at these things, and then they start thinking, man, maybe there is something to this whole God thing, right? You know, this is evidence that they're finding is really pointing to this thing being true. And then they start studying some more, and they start to realize that, you know, this whole book is talking about God's love and how it is that we keep messing up from the very beginnings. We continue to mess up. And then we get to a point where we start going, man, I'm messed up and I don't have any way to get to God. And then they realize that He provided a way that they can get to Him through His Son Jesus on the cross. So they start to believe in Jesus, and they start to trust Him with their life because they're seeing how everything's pointing, and He opens up their hearts and minds, and they're able to start to have confidence in Jesus. But how do we start to discern? Once we start believing, how is it that we discern the truth about Jesus and about God's Word? How do we figure out what's right here? Because there's all these denominations, right? Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostals, you know, Lutheran, all these different denominations out there. So many different pastors teaching all these different things. They're teaching the Bible in different ways. They're teaching things about baptism. They're teaching things about prosperity. They're teaching all these great things. So which one of them is right? Who's right? And the conclusion that I come up with is, while that's a good question, Jesus is the one that's to say who's right, because Jesus is always the answer, right? It's always him. He's always the one that is absolutely right. So we have to study in his word. And this right here is the thing that I think that we have to be worried about in this big world that we live in this matrix of a world, only this is real reality. Matthew tells us, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. That's from Matthew 7:15. That sounds kind of weird, right? These wolves in sheep's clothing, you'd think you'd be able to spot that pretty easily. So I wanted to go out and find a picture that would help us to see that a little bit. Matthew, you can put that up there. Look at that. Somebody did an incredible Photoshop job on that, just saying. But that's kind of hard to spot, that's a wolf. If you're looking at a whole group of sheep, it might be very difficult to spot that one wolf that's wrapped up in sheep's clothing out there. You can see the eyes are different, nose a little bit different. But other than that, that might look like just one of the sheep out there. And it makes it even more difficult to spot out one of these wolves in sheep clothing whenever they look more like this. And Matthew can bring up the next picture. And for clarity, I want to say that I don't have anything against this guy. You can go ahead and put him up there, Matthew. Whenever they look more like this right here, they'd be even more difficult to discern that that's a false prophet or a false teacher, right? And I don't know him. I'm not going to say he's a false teacher. He's just a picture of a guy I found out there wearing a suit. And that's how many of the preachers that are teaching untruths out there look. They just look like a normal everyday guy, but they're being dishonest. And then I started thinking, man, it sure would be nice if there was a way that they could look more like this next picture. And Matthew can put that up there. Right? Because then it'd be clear, you know, this guy is a false prophet. He's not telling us the truth. He's got the big giant horns, and he's got, you know, his red hands and red skin, and that would make it much easier to tell whenever somebody was a false prophet if that's what they look like. But unfortunately, that's not the way that it works. So how is it that we are able to discern spiritual things of God from the deception of Satan? And I want to look at God's Word and see what that says. I'm going to turn to Thessalonians. He's already got it up there. But test everything, hold fast what is good. Hold fast what is good. So we need to test everything and hold fast from that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. That's what Paul teaches to the Thessalonians. And then John has a similar warning whenever he says from 1 John 4:1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So according to the New Testament, discernment isn't really optional for Christians, right? It's required. We need to be testing everything, and we need to be testing it against God's word to see where the truth is. So we're starting to see this picture now of all these false prophets that are around us, and we can assume that if they're false prophets, then they're probably being deceitful, they're probably lying, and they're probably teaching us things that aren't part of God's word. And here's the real kicker, is that some of these false prophets that are out there right now, they don't even know that they're false prophets. They believe that what they're teaching is accurate and true from the way that they look at things, so that makes it even more difficult, and they're blinded to what the truth is. So how are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to judge these things? Because we're not supposed to judge the people, right? But we can judge the message, and there's nothing really that tells us not to judge when someone is absolutely wrong either, or to compare them to God's word and use our discernment. So as believers in Jesus Christ, how can we be confident in our Christian life when there's so much deception around us? And the answer is simple, but it's still very complex. It seems simple. The way to discern that is to know Jesus, right? I mean, that's relatively, it's two words, know Jesus. But how do we learn to know Jesus? I think we should always be studying his word. I think that he gave us his word for a reason. It wasn't just to have around. He gave this so that we could get to know him all throughout the Bible, from what we've been studying in the morning Bible study all throughout, God has wanted to get to know his people and get to know people and to love them, and they keep turning away from him. So we need to be digging into his word all the time, because we need to have the sword of righteousness, that's God's word, to be able to cut through all the lies of our society and culture, to delve in and figure out where the truth is at. But we don't need to just have the sword of righteousness. We need to be wearing the entire armor of God, right, to protect us from all the things that are going to be thrown at us in this world and in the spiritual world. We need to be protected. And we need to do like what Paul said in Thessalonians, and we need to examine everything carefully, and we need to hold fast to what is good and abstain from everything that's evil. We need to compare what's going on in our world, in our society, in our culture, in our government, what pastors are saying, and everything, and compare it to what the Word of God says. That's why we need to spend time in His book, reading it for ourselves, studying it, seeing what other people are saying, and looking at a variety of things, and coming to conclusions of what God wants us to hear in this book. Because I guarantee you, there's a lot of things out there right now that's being taught that isn't in this book. I've learned so much since I just started reading the Bible over and over again. Things that I thought to be true about God's Word, but it turned out that it absolutely wasn't. So it's pretty cool to learn that stuff. So this is what we use to defend against the lies that are out there. And I think that right now is the time to really start getting serious about what's in His Word and to start sharpening our sword, right? Because the things that I'm seeing and the things that I'm reading, a lot of things are really pointing to the state of how our world is right now with what's happening, and it's pointing to these last days that we keep hearing about. So now is the time that we need to be digging into His Word, because we don't know what's going to be thrown at us, and we need to have something, some way of knowing beyond knowing of what God says versus the lies that our society and our culture and everyone is telling us. We need to be prepared ourselves. We need to be prepared ourselves so that we can prepare our children, so we can answer their questions and help them to understand, so that we can help our friends, so we can help our coworkers, so that we can help all these people come to understand. We need to be preaching this gospel message out there to anybody that's willing to listen to us. So we need to test these spirits to see if they're from God, and if they're not, we need to direct them away from us in Jesus' name. So while we got the society out there telling us that we need to kill all cops because they're corrupt and killing innocent people, we can look at just Glenrose, right? We can look at Glenrose and see that there's some good police officers. We got some great ones here. These are guys with families. They're guys that care about their communities. They're people that are there to protect and serve, and that's exactly what they want to do. But there's people out there that would have you believe all cops are bad and all cops need to be killed. You guys think that all the bad cops out there need to be killed? I don't either. But there's a reason for it, because if we look at God's Word, we can see that one of His Ten Commandments is that you shall not kill. And He does give some reasons that there are some people to be killed if they go out shedding needless blood. There's reasons for that. There's reasons for our laws and things like that we've got. But it's not because they're bad. We're all bad according to the Bible. We all fall short of God's glory. And the only thing that makes any believer anything different is because we've got the blood of Christ covering over our sins. So we can discern pretty clearly that while culture and while some of society is saying that we need to be out killing cops, that we shouldn't be doing that just by comparing that to God's Word. So another thing that I started looking at is that society as a whole, and this is in our community, this is on television and movies, this is on the news, there's all these things that society is almost saying that it is okay to have an adulterous relationship outside of our marriage. And that if we go out and have this adulterous relationship outside of our marriage, that, you know, worst case scenario, your spouse is going to get mad at you and you're going to lose half your stuff, and it's like you just start all over and everything is good. That's what society makes it look like, that there's just nothing really wrong with these kind of relationships. But we can start looking at, what does God say about that? Does God say that it's okay to have those types of relationships? And the Bible says, you shall not commit adultery. We've all heard that one, right? You shall not do that. And that seems pretty clear, but then some people are going to say, well, you know, that's Old Testament law, so what did Jesus say about that? What did the New Testament say about adultery? Then I look here and it says, let marriage be honored among all, and the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Seems pretty tough because now it's in there twice. It's in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament. So God's saying that we should not be committing adultery, and that if he puts a man and a woman together, then they become one flesh, and that no one should separate what God puts together. So clearly, using God's word, we can see that adultery is not okay. So we've discerned that. So we can see that God gave us this awesome little tool right here that's a big tool, so that we can start learning to discern. And the more and more that we study, the more and more that we put Scripture to memory, the more that we understand this, the more that our own discernment is going to build inside of us, where we can see that what society is saying isn't right. And we can go, no, I don't think that that's right at all. And the Holy Spirit's going to convict us of a lot of that, right? But then we can go back to His Word and we can say, hey, here's what God's Word says. And I believe that His Word supersedes anything that you guys can say. And we've all been deceived in a variety of different ways, and we've all bought into some things that just aren't scriptural, because none of us are perfect. Not even one of us. And Paul knew that the source of truth was God's Word. Whenever he sent a letter to his friend Timothy that said, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So even Paul said that the Bible, God's Word, is where the truth is at. Not anything that anybody tells us. Right here is where we need to be keeping our faces and keeping our minds. So if there's something that any of you guys have that you're wondering, you're questioning these things that are happening in society that you're hearing are right, you're hearing some big-named pastors talking about, but it doesn't feel right and doesn't seem right, and you're trying to figure things out, and I'll give you my phone number, my email address, any kind of contact info, and I will study it with you, and I'll help you come to some kind of conclusion. I can study in His Word. I can also point you to different things on the internet that are commentaries and things that will help us to build a better picture, so that we can start to discern whether what we're hearing is correct or not. Because I know there's a lot of difficult things out there that we need to be able to look at to understand. I know there's probably someone that may be listening online, or there's someone that may be here today that is still trying to discern whether Jesus is a myth or not. And I would encourage anybody that is questioning whether Jesus was alive or not to study archaeological findings, study historical accounts. You'll find that it's not just inside of here, like what atheists would have you believe, that Jesus has talked about. He's talked about in secular writings of his time also. So we know that Jesus really existed. His miracles are talked about. All of these different accounts that are in our Bible are all separate guys that wrote about their accounts of Jesus. And they were put into one book. So we have at least four guys talking about that. So I would study and really start to discern the truth from all the lies out there. It's so important that we come to this conclusion that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And we see that all these prophecies all the way up through pointed to this one guy that fulfilled everything. And it's only through him that we can find eternal life in heaven. I'm just going to pray for us. God, I thank you so much for this message. God, I ask that you would help us to learn to discern the truth from the lies out there. I would ask that you give us the discernment skill so that we can walk a confident Christian life, knowing that we can discern the truth from the lies out there. We thank you for your word, that you gave it to us so that we could look at that and that we could see the truth from the lies. We ask you to be with us as we watch the news, as we look at things on social media, and as we live our lives out, that we can look at things and determine with your Holy Spirit's help whether it is true or whether it is false, and point us into your word every time. Help us to always go back to your word so that we can discern the truth from the lies. God, we love you. We want to honor you with our entire being. We want to share this big message that you've given to us with the world, to the ends of the world, so that everyone has the opportunity to come to know you. What an awesome Father you are as we look throughout your word and we see all the different ways that people mess up, but we continually see your grace and mercy all throughout the Bible. And we thank you for the men that you used that had a heart to listen to you and write down these things that you were teaching them. We thank you for the men that put these put the entire Bible together so that we can have this. God, we thank you that this is real. This isn't some time of playing around or anything like that. And God, we see that things are just as you said, and it's starting to get into those last days where people are becoming worse and worse, and where evil is called good and good is called evil. God, be with us. Help us to stand strong in this world. Help us to be bold in our faith. Help us to love you more so that we can love others more. God, I ask that you be with us as we step out of here today, outside of the comfort of this building and the air conditioning and all the amenities that we have, but we go out into the real world where it's becoming more dangerous. Thank you for a country where we do still have freedoms. God, we don't know your plan for that, but we thank you for whatever it is that we're going to go through, because we know it's just going to make us stronger. It's going to make us stronger in our faith, and it's going to lead more people to you. God, I ask that you be with Cornerstone as we lead people to Christ and help them be conformed into your image. Help us all to imitate you so that others can imitate us. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I also want to lift up Shelly to you for her sickness this morning, that you would just be with her and heal her up quickly so that she can go back to normal. I want to lift up all of the unspoken requests that we have this morning to you, that we can all agree in prayer for these things. God, I love you. We love you. Thank you that we're your children and that you're always there for us. In Jesus' name, amen.